Seatbelts on, check your mirrors, volume up. The Under Construction Podcast with Aidan Power and Pat Moore starts now. Welcome to episode 2 of the podcast. I'm Aidan Power. I'm still here. And due to popular demand, Pat Moore has been dragged back. You loved the first one. You love being on the mic.
You're such a great liar. Due to popular demand, that'd be a first. No, look, hey, it's great to be back and great to see you again. Look, I think we're in for an exciting show again. We're talking about outdoor living.
Yeah, like we are technically in the summer at this stage. And it is the time of year. I mean, people have probably been thinking about it for months and thinking about upgrades if they've not already done them. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing Easter weekend, you can smell barbecues burning all over the place. And if you were me, you were cleaning the back garden Thursday, Friday, on a day off, getting ready for the family to come over on Easter Sunday. So yeah, no, look, you can see this is, you know, from the following the pandemic, people are really, you know, taking the outdoor as being the extra room in the house. So there's a lot of development in there. And, you know, it's gone are the days with the plastic patio furniture, you know, and the charcoal barbecue.
Really? Oh God.
apart from you, gone are those days. So people are spending more money on upgrading their furniture and upgrading the standard of living that they have outside. So look, Kieran Duggan from Etex is on. He'll give us an insight into, you know, how you can really modernise that area. And then look, we have the famous Peter Donegan, who it doesn't need any intro at all, the work he's done on DIY SOS. And we as Chadwicks, we've been very lucky to be involved in that project. The work he's done and some of the designs in the garden that he's done has been phenomenal, and it's really eye opening. But the programme itself is, you know, it's a fantastic piece for us as Chadwicks to be involved with.
How important is this for you? Because I know it is important, but how important is it to be involved in something like that? Not just from a PR point of view, but actually in terms of genuinely being a part of the community.
Look, I can genuinely tell you that the people involved, so our branches, like what we've seen inside the branches, the lift that's given to our colleagues in the branch, but also in the community where the projects are being done. It's actually phenomenal. Like I've been lucky enough to be down at a couple of them, and the launch dates, like it's like, less, we don't have any problems, you know. This is so, it's from us, from a Chadwicks perspective, yeah, just branding it, that's great. But from us more, it's been able to help these people that are going through such a difficult time. It's a super project, and Peter will give you more insight, because he's right in the thick of it for the full. When you consider what they do for 9 days, it's phenomenal.
Well, I really look forward to talking to Peter shortly, but now let's meet our first guest. All right, time to welcome our first guest to the podcast this week. He is the Etex Regional Sales Manager, and he is Kieran Duggan. Kieran, good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
It's good to be here. Thanks, Aidan.
How are you?
Good, good.
You're a happy Limerick man?
I am at the moment.
So, Seadrill will be a name many people, not just in the industry, know, but around the country. But they would have known it more as a different name up until recently enough.
Yeah, we were Tegrill for many, many years. We're based in Athy. We were a sponsor to Kildare football team for a good number of years. That's probably where a lot of people know us from. But the mothership is Etex, based in Belgium. And a couple of years ago, they decided to bring us all in under the one brand. So we're now Seadrill Ireland.
Okie doke. So the main product from Seadrill is what?
I suppose our number one product that we'd manufacture would be slates in Athy. People might know the Trutone and Rivendell brands. And
to be well known, Aidan.
Hang on. We've been around. Are we getting into the dirt straight off?
Well known.
Sorry, should I have asked you the first question? Tell us what you know, Pat.
Etex, as Kieran has pointed out, they're a very famous company in Ireland's bees. And in fairness to the brand itself, down in Athy, has given a lot of jobs, created a lot of employment in the area too. So he's underselling a little bit. And then I suppose pushing on to the new world of Etex, they've done a super job on that as well.
And what did that do for the company, as well as a name change in terms of growing the business?
Well, I suppose, as Pat touched on there, we were a founding member of Guaranteed Irish as well. So for years and years, we were very localised in the Irish industry. But I suppose opening up more avenues now towards our kind of our foreign counterparts in Belgium and the greater continent and stuff like that, you know, so it's given us more access to other products that are available, like the cladding now, which is coming from a sister company in Belgium. So it definitely has helped us to, you know, gain synergies in different areas.
Okay. Just how popular in the last few years, how much of a growth has there been in people wanting cladding?
with our product in particular, we've definitely seen in the last 3 years anyway that we've pretty much we've had huge, huge growth in this area. It's pretty versatile type of a product anyway, because I mean it can be used as a wraparound facade on a house or on a back wall in a garden or pretty much anywhere on a soffit. So I think people spending more and more time at home are looking around, and as like we've all had that time in the last number of years. So it's been good. It's been good.
Clad that.
Everything.
What can you not clad?
Nothing. Water.
Clad the dog's kennel?
Absolutely, if you want to.
To explain the product exactly, is it an alternative to wood?
It would be. It is. I suppose if you were to take shiplap cladding, really, which is your New Hamptons, New England kind of a style. Okay, we have two types of cladding. Basically, we've for the more traditional look, there's a cedral lap board which overlaps each other, and then basically there's a flush finish one, which is a cedral click, which interlock. So depending on the finish you're looking for, whether it's a traditional or a more contemporary look, we have one for both. And it also comes with two different finishes in both styles. You can get a wood grain finish or else a smooth finish as well, so which will add to the overall look.
Look, I suppose from our perspective, there'll be a lot of lads out there, a lot of lads and ladies not used to using cedral cladding. I'm probably a bit afraid of it. So I suppose, Kieran, from their perspective who are listening in, like it's not that difficult to the construction end of it. Can you explain a bit about the whole makeup of it?
I suppose it's a product really that's going to be fitted by either really, really enthusiastic or, you know, half decent DIYers, and generally carpenters. It's a dry trade. So carpenters will be very familiar with when they're setting out a roof, you have your battens and you have your trims and your valleys and everything. So you get all the prep work done first, you get all your trims on, and then the last thing you do is actually you put on the boards. So it's a very versatile product, and most carpenters would be used to that type of a format anyway. And there's any amount of help available with YouTube videos on installation guides and stuff like that. So
and help from Chadwicks as well.
And obviously Chadwicks, if any staff members in Chadwicks, exactly, yeah.
Is the process, the installation process, or how dissimilar might it be to if you were to use timber cladding?
It's possibly similar in ways with timber cladding. I'm not so sure with the trims and the cornering details of what they would use there. But
if you're anyway familiar with that, you this is not too much of a leap.
I think even if you were familiar with putting down a composite deck, you'd have an idea on this one. Okay, it's a very simple kind of a process. Your battens, you just have your trims, and you get your vertical ones, your horizontal ones, and the last thing that you do is put on your boards.
All right. I think, Pat, we should run a running tally of all our guests, and you and I, on this show as to hands up who's ever put down their own composite deck.
Okay, that won't take long. I can tell you.
Have we any hands up in the room? Anyone?
Not me. Anyway.
That's a surprise. None of us have put down a composite deck.
I mean, look, yes. To be fair to Kieran as well, I think you look at David, you've mentioned timber cladding, and in Ireland, historically, we've done a lot of timber cladding. But it'd be fair to say, if you're driving around Dublin or any part of the country and you look at some timber cladding, you can see most of it's turning black. Realistically, we're not a country that can weather timber cladding. So the cedar product, and again, Kieran, you jump in when you're ready, the cedar product can give a different, has a different element in relation to weather resistance. And that's why I think it's definitely going to be popular, but it's becoming even more popular when you see the benefits of using cedar cladding over that of the historically timber cladding.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a highly durable product. It won't rot. Very low maintenance, you know what I mean, to be fair. And I think, you know, a lot of the benefits over other cladding, what people really, really like, is the aesthetic of it, you know, that it's, you know, it really gives that kind of high-end kind of a look. And also, I suppose, certain considerations when people are putting it up as well is that it's a very, very good fire rating too. So, you know, that could be a consideration, you know.
Right, okay.
You wouldn't be old enough to know what Dawson's Creek. It's very Dawson's Creek.
Here we go, the patronising has started. How many episodes have you done of this show? Maybe I'm surprised we lasted this long, Pat. Go on.
It's very Americanish. If you look at it, fairness, it's a product that is very, like in America, you can see, like, yeah.
Did you reference Dawson's Creek?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
You did, yeah.
Hang on. That's not about me being old enough. That's you trying to be young enough.
No, I mean, being old. But, you can see the houses in the Hamptons and stuff. That's what, if you look at them houses and watching TV in America, you'll see the cladding. That cladding is effectively a cedral system is there. It's come across from the States into the UK and into Europe, and we've dropped it into Ireland and all that. And that's what happens, really. It starts really in America, ends up being into the UK and Europe, and then it lands in Ireland.
So is that how it's worked? Like, we're so influenced by culture from America, television shows, that would have played a part in the popularity of it.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, and the visual of it is, you know what I mean, it does lend itself to that type of thing. And again, doesn't just have to go onto the back of a house, it can go onto a garden wall or a screen, you know, that you're trying to divide a space.
Yeah, and again, look, it goes back to the issue we have with labour in the country and apprenticeships and younger people not getting involved in the trades. This is a replacement for brick and block. So, you know, it also fits that purpose of where you don't have a brick, you can't get a brick layer in time, this product can jump in and basically suffice that.
Yeah, what we're seeing is a lot of people even say with garden rooms now, and even the box extension out the back of the house, you know, if it's been done in timber frame, you can just put a membrane on the outside of it, put your battens on and clad it. You know, it's a very simple process, and you're reducing the number of tradesmen that you're bringing in as well. So effectively get your base in and your carpenter can take from there.
Well, that'll sound good not only to customers but to carpenters as well. I'm like, I'll get all that work for myself. Now, not everyone's gaff would be suited to look like the Hamptons in terms of that beautiful, brilliant white. So I presume it comes in other colours that might be more suitable here in Ireland.
Yeah, no, it comes in a range of 21 different colours. Oh. So there's pretty much something for everyone. And again, with the four different profiles currently available, you're looking at, that's a combination of about 84 different finishes. Like, so
probably still not enough for you, Aidan. You're probably looking for something else different, so... But we'll accommodate you and others. There's not any chatterings.
Thank you very much. I'm going to come up with some colour now. There's just that you will not possibly have, or that Pat would not even be able to conceive. You talked a bit there about the garden rooms and things like that, and you mentioned obviously in the last few years we've been forced out into our gardens with some people, whether they want to be or not. But a lot of people have taken on some really inventive projects. What kind of trends are you seeing at the moment that people are wanting to use your product for?
Again, it's been used, like I've seen a lot of people even putting, say, again, all the outdoor rooms and stuff, you know, but we have done even on ceilings and, you know, ceilings of verandas and stuff like that. So it can be used outside and people will use it on fascia and soffits as well. But certainly in the last 2 years, the outdoor room, the man cave, the outdoor office, that's been a huge, huge growth area for us and probably a market that hadn't been there maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
No, absolutely. And I think you can see people have gone from using the traditional pergola, where you'd have your pergola just there. So they've now started to turn that into the room. You have televisions out in the back room. You've got your couches. So the Cedar product offers that element of protection against the weather. And you can see it yourself. You've seen it, Kieran, as I have. That room now is becoming an outdoor room. Mm. And people are starting to spend a lot more time. The weather's getting warmer. People are out there a lot more now. And I said to you, like, you can see people have TV screens out there now. You know, they have the couches, got the barbecue. Barbecue's probably the wrong word. It's a cooking area. Mm. We need to have another kitchen within the dining room. So, and Cedar offers two elements there. One from a aesthetically looking, very, very pleasant aesthetically looking, but also then from a protection side of it, it's protecting that valuable product that's sitting in there.
Yeah. And so then for tradespeople who are maybe somewhat new to the product, they talk to yourselves, they talk to Chadwicks and get some advice.
Yeah, look, I think from the Chadwicks perspective, we've partnered up with Cedar and we're with them many, many years, but it also helps us that the guys have a technical advice back in the head office. In every one of our branches, we have all technically, basically everybody trained up that needs to be trained up in the area and can give advice from the branch. And if there's anything that we don't know, the guys are on hand to give us a dig out. So look, we've featured Cedar very heavily in our new summer campaign, our summer brochure, which is available in the branch. If you want to go in and get them there, you'll see the Cedar featured heavily in there. And the guys and girls in the branches will help out in pricing and any advice or any questions that people may have.
And you've been training staff members as well, Kieran, is that right?
We have actually, like, we've done in-house training with a lot of the staff in Chadwicks itself, so they'd be very knowledgeable on the product. But we've also undertaken to train up installers. So anyone who's interested in actually maybe adding this on as an add-on to their business, because I suppose carpenters, it's, you know, it's something that's growing. So guys are seeing this as an opportunity for them to branch out and add something extra to what they provide, you know, as fitting cladding like this. So we do provide training, you know, we have done it on site in many Chadwicks branches around at the moment. So anyone who's interested in doing that, just contact Chadwicks and we can organise that.
And I think, as you've both mentioned and illustrated, there's plenty of good reasons why it is a worthy choice. Kieran, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. Good to see you. Who are Limerick going to beat in the All-Ireland Hurling Final and by how much?
Good question. I think at the minute, the way they're looking and not being too getting ahead of ourselves, you know, living in Cork myself, I'd like to see him back against Cork again next year.
And being a dub, we couldn't care less. Just we will win the All-Ireland.
Now you have it.
Thanks, Kieran. Building, roofing, plumbing, paving, painting, fencing, drilling or decking. Whatever the job, big or small, your local Chadwicks has everything you need. From power tools and plant hire to doors and floors, bathrooms, gardening equipment and more. Choose from a massive range, get expert advice and next day delivery. We have 40 branches around Ireland. See chadwicks.ie. Chadwicks. Let's get it done, 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 done. Terms and conditions apply. Right, we are joined by landscape architect and horticulturist Peter Donegan, who will be known to many people in that field, no pun intended. But also, he is the housewife's favourite on DIY SOS, whether he likes it or not.
Peter, it's a compliment.
We've been watching you on the telly most Sundays for the past few weeks. It's nice to see you in person. How are you?
You too, Aidan. Good to see you again.
The show has been, well, I was going to say a great success, but that's not really what the show is about. It's not about delivering ratings. It's about genuinely changing people's lives with the help of many, many hundreds of good souls and businesses.
I think you've just hit the nail bang on the head. It's a pretty humbling experience, to be fair. And the design brief, I think, and this will put it in a nutshell, the design brief is very much to look after the family. So whether or not the garden is well received on television is sort of neither here nor there, but you're aware it's on television, but it's not a show garden. And that's where it ultimately changes, in that it shouldn't matter. I don't know how you explain that. You got to be able to see behind the curtains, but you may not always like it. But I don't mind if you don't like it. We've done the right thing for the family. And with the help of, you're right, if we take the numbers on New Ross, I think we had 178 volunteers in one day on site over the course of 8-9 days in total. Yeah, colossal numbers.
I think it's fair to reflect as well from a challenge, because like the boost we got in the branch, from the people in the branch who got involved in the project, and I think you met Ross,
yeah,
Wonder Man Tony, and you know the branch managers that have got involved. Initially from us, it was a new venture for us. Scary to be at the start, because it is overwhelming when you consider what the guys are doing, Peter, in 9 days. You think you're building a whole, basically you're renovating a new house into a house, into a new house and a whole garden. It's a massive project. Really, if we did a bit more before and after, you'd see it was extraordinary what the work to get through.
Do you know what? There's probably a whole other, you're right, a program or a documentary in the making of the real show. Do you know what I mean? The logistics.
Too much bad language.
The prep. Behind the scenes is what really would be interesting.
Ross in the branch manager in Santry, I'm unsure if he knew what he was signed up to, but I text him one morning at 3:10 saying, answer your phone or I'm going to keep calling you. And he rang me back and went, what do you need? And I went, I need it by 6:30 in the morning. And that was that. Wow. That's the rate at which it goes at. So when I say we were thrown into a boy band almost together, myself, Liam and Anthony in this case, like the branch manager from Chadwick's, literally, he'd no choice. He'd no choice.
A cameo role.
So a phenomenal show, a phenomenal success, genuinely changing lives. I would imagine in your own line of work, for as long as you've been a landscape architect and a horticulturist, you've never encountered anything on the scale of this.
No matter which way you look at it, 10 days to build a house, 8 days to build a garden is just, you know, you walk in and there's lemons on the table and the light switches all work and you're scratching your head saying, you know, how, but like we managed to make it happen. And then you take something like Santry, which had ultimately an extension that was about 18 inches to be able to get an elevator up through the centre of it from a building perspective. That's one part. But when you see the bits that were unfolding live, I'll bite to our cameras there. I think we got to the point where we just ignored them and they were part of it. But, you know, the lads were literally going in through what was the front window to bring materials in. They put in the glass and now they're coming out through the front door. We're trying to do the front step and they can only come out the side alley. The numbers on it, the time scales on it, the planning that goes into something like that. I said before what I'll always say in that one, you need approximately 1,000 people holding hands with you all on the same hymn sheet. Otherwise, one of the cogs is going to fall off. It moves that fast.
Wow. It's incredible. It really is. It's a testament to every single person involved, just how good it is. This week, we're talking, Pat, about outdoor living, inspiration, trends and the like. Just on that TV show, I'm wondering how many people, and you might tell us for those who haven't seen it, came up and said to you about the garden in New Ross, said, could you do that in my back garden? You might tell us about that garden and just how creative the whole thing was.
I think the use of materials, and again, this is where it's not a blowing smoke thing. If you have somebody like Ross or Pat in your arsenal or in your phone and they will answer the phone to you, it is picking up the phone saying, I need this solution at that quick. And you were talking about Seadrill as a product. That was one of the ones that we knew. We'd never used it before in the show, but it is that easy to put up. And we actually used it in the last episode in Waterford for cladding the outdoor room. That was one of them. We used Corten steel, I know, in making the 1.35 is to one, my apologies, scale grand piano, which was another one. But then at the same token, when we go back to the episode in Longwood, we built an entire castle ultimately out of a product called Meadowite Tricoya. We built all of the kitchens out of Meadowite Tricoya as well. And that's before we get into any other thing, including the stained glass and the copper on top of the roof.
I'm going to show myself up now because I can't pronounce what you just pronounced. Meadowite Tricoya.
So Meadowite Tricoya, for those who aren't aware, is like MDF, as smooth as, works the same as, but it's got a 50-year guarantee above water, 25 years guarantee below. So we use it extensively when we're designing gardens in London, France, anything like that. But when we come back to Ireland, it's not really been overused. And the biggest question asked was, that castle won't last too long outside. That was one of the points that was made, which is understandable if you don't know the product and you assume it's MDF. Mm. But it's not.
And it's Irish made. It's made from company Smartply in Waterford, part of the Quinchy Group. So.
And so the inference there is it's a better product than MDF.
You couldn't use MDF outside. You wouldn't get a year out of it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get a year out of it. It'd fall apart.
Okay, so is this a product we need to know more about and should be using more?
I would say so, yeah. It's a natural product. I would like to say it can go on the compost heap, if you will, but it'd take, 25, 50 years to break down in that context because of its water durability. Mm. But for us making buildings outside, if we take even building, ultimately, if you imagine that castle as a standard shed, there's no reason why you can't make it out of Meadowite, is the point that I would make.
Very good. Yeah, look, and it's available in Chadwicks, as Peter has said. So we had a lot of work with the guys and other people in relation to the product. It's not used widely around Ireland, but like programs like these will identify the product and, there'll be more inquiries for it.
And as you said, just to pick up on that point, when you need to execute your plan, you need to be able to turn around and have your artillery, so to speak, there that you can pick and choose from and have product ready to go at any hour of the day or night.
It has to be off the shelf. And so if we take steel, if we're making anything out of metal, we've got a lead time in where it would need to be galvanized. And then we obviously have 8 hours between a base coat, first coat, paint it, and then go same again. So even if we had the steel in on time, we'd still require 3 days in order to be able to have it finished. With Meadowite, it works exactly the same as MDF, but it's for the outdoors. We can get a carpenter, anybody pretty much, to put it together. So when you're looking for solutions at a very fast rate for the great outdoors, it's available off the shelf. You just need to know how to work MDF, which, in fairness, as Pat will tell you, anybody can.
Well, you can. Most people can, yeah. It's tough enough. But go back to when we were doing the programmes, and one question I meant to ask was, which is, one or two of them was, the difference you've seen now in Ireland in your professional life in relation to outdoor gardening. I mean, you have seen some significant changes over the years.
Well, the joke always was that we went from the cobblock pandemic to the Indian sandstone circle epidemic, and then we went into the decking pandemic, and then we went through a different pandemic and we come out the far side. And you were talking about it earlier on, where it's the outdoor room is one element of it. You'll find the supersaturation sort of starting to happen on that. But to go back to the cobblock era of the 80s, which is ultimately 40 years ago, even the days of doing a pink-red border with a diamond in the middle are gone. Decking had its point in time. And what we found statistically over the last 5 years was we've designed more decks out of gardens than we have actually put in 20 years, my 20 years under my own name. What's actually started to happen when you look a little bit closer into that, what we're now doing is specking a higher standard of deck. And so I know White River Group is the one that I've used in my own house.
Yeah.
That's one of yours.
It is.
That's a composite deck. And again, it's that people are getting clever. They're paying a little bit more. Don't mind paying a little bit more, so long as the product is worthwhile. When we look at Seadral, it's the same thing. We were specking tongue and groove, and we were actually putting a burnt wood finish on it. So you flame torch it and then brush it down to get that blackness on it. And that's now gone to Seadral. We've changed that again, where it's got a wood grain effect on it. But at the same token, the maintenance on it is lower, but you pay maybe a little bit more at the start. And when we get into, I think, even building garden rooms, now what's starting to happen, and this is the biggest change, it's gone from the A-framed roof. It's now gone down into a lean-to because people want to show off that they have a sedum green roof on top of it. And if you can nail that Dawson's Creek look, if I may, that you were talking about, we would have gone back a little bit.
He still doesn't know what it is. He's too young.
But we would have gone back a little bit further.
I'll take that, Pat.
Do you remember the Waltons, Pat?
I do. John Boy, yeah.
Yeah, so when you get into that one, what you've got is the lean-to overhang where the rain is coming down. And that's the effect that we would go for, nestle it in between the trees and make it look like it's always been there. And if you can master that in any garden design, then we'll turn around and spec the product.
And in particular, you've mentioned there several times maintenance. Again, I'll go back to you young fellas. Your daddies didn't teach you how to maintain or paint or change a light bulb. The decking definitely is, we've seen a massive change, and people value their time more to weekends than they probably did back in the 60s and 70s when you spent a weekend painting a deck or you spent a weekend painting a fence. All these products now that are coming are virtually maintenance free once they're in place.
But the original decks, if you go back, say, 15 years ago, 17 years ago, they would have been softwood. They would have gone, when we started specking them in, they were hardwood. Then the cheaper alternative came along, and ultimately that became the super saturation where it went out the far side. Now it's coming in, but it's coming in smaller areas. And if you take that Walton's, Dawson's Creek overhang where you're sitting down on your rocking chair and there's planting around you, but you're sitting on your deck, it's not soft wood, it's composite now, and it's cedral that we're specking, but it's to try and make it look like it's not that, and like you have all the time in the world, but you don't.
In relation to the plant world, and I was involved in plants many years ago in Atlantic Home Care, what is realised there, it was an absolute nightmare to keep everything watered and going. What have you seen in that whole area of planting where we were a nation of daffodils and tulips and all that? When you watch your programme and other programmes, some of the plants are exotically...
The easiest way to explain that is if we go to street planting. Street planting, if you look at what the councils are doing, they were doing bedding plants. That's now moved by the way. They then went to wildflowers. If you go a stage on from that, they went into wildflower bulbs. Mm. So once they go past, the bulbs go past the flowering stage, it's run a lawnmower straight across it and they're back up the next year. They've got, again, it's cleverness based on investment, if you will, at all points in time. And if you look at where we're going and planting, the design of the garden is the first part ultimately, because it doesn't matter how much money you sink in. If you haven't got a good design, you'll end up doing it bit by bit, an add-on to an add-on, with usually a couple of years in between, say, building the garden room at the back. And then hindsight is wonderful, isn't it? You'll be able to say, we should have done this or should have put that there. Once the design is in place, we have gardens that are, I think we've designed maybe, say, 8 years ago. The planting is only going to happen this year.
And that was probably my next leading question is, if you were thinking about doing a garden, do you do the heavy work first and then the planting? And in your world, can you show customers then, look, this is what the garden's going to look like today, but in 8 years' time when we plant these plants, the garden effectively look like this?
We've got gardens that we designed coincidentally. We'll exclude the last 2 years and the name that goes with it from that. I think we already spoke about 80s Cobblock and referenced it there, but we've got gardens that we would have designed, say, 4 or 5 years ago. Clever people will pay for the investment, maybe, of the design, he says. Hmm. And then they will build it over a period of time. But what it allows them to see is, here's how much, let's say, for example, we've got $100,000. We want to spend 20 in 2015. We want to spend 15 in 2016. This is the building of the garden room, done. This is the infrastructure for the lighting, done. This is the infrastructure for... When you get to 5 years' time, garden's complete. It's Vorsprung technique. There's no anything else to be added on to it. This isn't a case of go and add a few more quid just to try and see if you can get it right. That's the master plan.
Okay.
The grand piano. Where did you get the idea from the grand piano? There's not too many gardens.
That's from the television show, from that house in New Ross, which was spectacular.
When my own dad passed, this has never been discussed publicly, I think, before, but when dad passed, I bought a piano. And I faced it into the room. The ones in the cowboy movies are normally up against the wall, if you will. So it was one of them. So we faced it into the room. And I always liked the idea of playing, facing other people. And of course, teaching myself how to play piano again, because I was thrown out of piano lessons when I was 9 years of age. But that's another story.
We've time to hear that one, I think. Don't mean we're intrigued. What are you doing?
I played Led Zeppelin instead of... I got to the point where I could read sheet music. So instead of playing Beethoven or whatever the classical thing was, I played Led Zepp and the woman didn't like it, so she asked me to leave. That was that. To go back to it, the sound of music being played into an audience of two or three people was always something that sort of got to me. And you, when you close your eyes, you realise people always congregate around the piano in those movies. It doesn't matter what they are, and it always struck at me. But you can't have something like that and take away from the view. So the view of the fields in New Ross, when they go into the autumn season, they tend to go brown. And I was talking to Johnny about 2 weeks ago and we were discussing this very thing. So the Corten fades it in. That was one. And then the next thing became, well, how do you woo them down even if you have a grand piano? So we planted the top part with fruit bushes and herbs and put the barbecue in underneath the lid. And then the poem was a poem by Sean Hughes called How I Feel. which is ultimately every Irishman.
It was like a superb idea. It came out of left field. Like,
well, but don't get me wrong. I think considering we used a 130-ton crane to bring a rocket ship in over a house in season one, the piano was probably a bit tame.
The sky's the limit in every sense. It really is.
But yeah.
Well, it must be fun for you because you can really explore your imagination and bring some of your own personal touches to it as well. For tradespeople who are being asked by their clients to do up their outdoor spaces, reconfigure them, build new outdoor spaces, what tips or advice or questions would you have for tradespeople that they need to be asking the client before anything happens?
The first thing a client needs to do is, and I will say this whether it's client or whether it's trade, if the person you're making the garden for ultimately doesn't have an overall budget and an overall view in place, chances are you're going to be called back to move X from point A to point B. No matter what garden we would walk into, it doesn't matter if it's €5 or €5 million, you need a grand master plan in place. If it's a 6x4 shed, that's fine. Put it in down the back, good luck to you. But once you're getting into something that is of the product that we're talking, which is of the worth that we're talking, and Pat will, you know, confer this, Medite isn't the cheapest product on the go, but what we're talking about is investing a little bit more into a better product that saves you over a 25, 30-year period. And so when we get into clients, I would rather they have a smaller space. We shave a meter off, but it comes in on the same sort of budget. It's building it once, it's building it right, it gets back to that. And ultimately, I think once you've got that plan in place, once they've got that budget in place, but we would try and say to people, what do you want to use it for? And in its simplest format, Aidan, when you're talking about having a patio, we would always say to the client, buy the patio furniture first. Decide if you want it for 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 people. We build the patio then to suit that size, because the idea of a giant size dance floor with two people dancing on it, only pretending to have a good time in Ireland on St. Patrick's Day when there's only two of you there, doesn't make sense. And the chances are it will either get lost, or you'll push one of the chairs back and somebody falls into the flower bed or falls off the edge of the deck. And it's the greatest thing that we hear. They get the deck built because your man said, I only needed 8x5, but there's 12 of us in, so we can't fit in. And I'm reminded now of 1982, when I'm one of eight children, and if one person wanted to get up and get out, everybody had to pull the table back away from the wall to get your sisters, and you can't have that. And so good design is what it comes back to, even if it's only on the back of a napkin. Even if it's only on the back of a napkin, just have some sort of an idea in place what the spend is. Once it's spec'd right and it's drawn and built accordingly, you should be fine.
I think that's super advice. I mean, fairness, that is super advice when you think that the planning is so important. And then effectively, if you said that, do the research into the product. As you mentioned, like, you don't need to use timber, you can use sigil. You know, you don't need to use softwood deck, you can use a composite deck, depending on your budget. But there is a lot of products out there that, you know, can make the job easier, but also make it look a lot better. But the planning is key.
Well, I'll give you a funny one. Most of the patios in DIY SOS, there were no cuts in them. None at all. So you take New Ross. I think that pathway was 37.5 meters long. And the joke that was made was we could have added on another 46 man-hour units just by specking that there had to be 10 mil taken off a 600x600 slab. Somebody has to run a consaw the entire way up, the 46 man-hour units comes in because you need somebody standing there with a hose to keep the dust down, and nobody gets to work either side because of health and safety.
Wow.
That one job. So 1,800 wide is what the slabs became. That's clever design. Minimal amount of cuts and absolutely everything leading to zero.
Well, I wonder who designed it.
I believe he's very good looking. Great sense of humour.
Peter, I know when you get a chance, you do travel a lot and your work takes you around the world. In terms of trends or what you're seeing abroad that we might be seeing more of here in Ireland in the immediate to short-term future, what are you seeing on your travels?
It's funny, at the minute I think we're obviously working in France. We've got the inauguration of a garden on the horizon there and a completion by end of June. So I think the only difference, if we go statistically between France and say Ireland as garden trends go, Ireland would probably be a little bit above that. But if we go to back gardens that we would do in London, across the water would be streets ahead, I would suggest, in comparison to Ireland. Streets ahead. We would have drawn, say, 4 swimming pools in the last 2 years. Never done one in Ireland. And that sort of sets it at a benchmark.
Easy aid.
So it's not a climate thing, it's a cultural thing?
I think Ireland has a very rich history of, you know, agriculture, equine, horticulture statistically, and I'll try and keep this not opinion-based, but if we take our oldest garden show was maybe 16, 17 years of age, born 2007, in Ireland, across the water, the oldest horticultural association is 200 plus years of age. The Gardeners Royal Benevolent Society, who we would have built a garden for on their behalf in Cardiff in 19, they're 184 years of age. So they look after gardeners when they retire.
You look at the UK years ago, Wimbledon and the two-stripe grass, and people go, where do you get the two-stripe grass from? And then you look at the Qualcast, where the famous brand of lawnmowers produced originally in the UK. The UK look after, to be fair to say, they have better gardens. They were probably outdoor before we were out in the outdoor.
I wouldn't say, at this moment in time, I wouldn't say it's better gardens. I think the history that they have with horticulture, certainly. We've one garden show, they have, you know, too many to mention, but three stalwarts, certainly, of the Royal Horticultural Society. So there's a richness there. I think there's maybe, when we talk about investing in our garden, like even if it's Medite again, and how you build things and how you build things for the future, certainly the investment in, if you're 30 years of age and you want a garden for the next 50 years, that makes clever sense to me. It makes clever sense across the water. But I think a lot of the times the jokes we would make is if I crane a rocket ship into a garden, there's going to be 50 of them built before the end of the year. They may just not look like exactly what we drew originally, if that makes better sense to you.
But Aidan's just thinking how you're going to crane the swimming pool into his back garden.
My back garden is the size of a postage stamp. Won't even get a wheelie bin full of water in it. Great to talk with Peter on the podcast. Actually, it was great to see him. Last time I saw him, wasn't on the telly, Pat. He was emceeing. He was the host at a charity Strictly Come Dancing event years ago. He probably wouldn't appreciate me saying that. But hey, he's a man of many talents.
Absolutely.
Thanks to Kieran also from Seadrill for joining us as well on this week's podcast. Remember, if you'd like to get in touch, you can email podcast@chadwicks.ie. What are we doing next time, Pat?
Yeah, the next episode, we're going to be looking at steel, and we're lucky to have our general manager, Tom Noonan, a good Galway man on the show, and a very good customer of ours, Eugene Downey, who will also be joining, who's a steel fabricator.
All right, look forward to it. Thanks, Pat. Join us then for the next episode of Under Construction with Chadwicks. The Under Construction podcast is produced by the Podcast Studios for Chadwicks, Ireland's leading building merchants company, where you can choose from the best products and expert advice to get the job done. Drop into any of your local Chadwicks stores nationwide or visit us online at chadwicks.ie.